So we're doing some planning with the new teacher. He's got two classes coming up in a half an hour. One is a training class and one is a general class. The training class has two in person and three on Zoom. So we'll start on that.
Well,
Start on that first.
This is it.
So I could have just planned, like made you plan it, but because it was a big group, I sometimes plan early
That's helpful.
and you weren't here, so
I
but
also
this is so I sometimes plan early because then a lot of times if people bail or if they sign up last minute, then I can always say, okay, no problem, but I've already planned the thing, so you're at the mercy of, like, if it's a last minute sign up, you're at the mercy of whatever we're doing. It may or may not apply to you. I'll try and make it relevant for you. I just tell them that up front,
If they're coming in
if
last
they're
minute.
coming last minute.
Okay.
And then
Sure.
they can't say, well, that class wasn't really relevant to me. But most people are very cool about it. And we try and make it relevant. Like, there's the bigger the group, the more broad the topic. Like, the more all-encompassing the topic will be. You don't have as much luxury to think about each student goals, even though I wrote it down there. And for the purposes of the recording, I'm going to go over it.
Sure.
So there's, and in the instruction booklet, the International Teachers Group thing, it said that the matching up the student goals with the activities would be the final step. And so they don't do it first at all. I just do it first just because I like to know who's coming. So I wrote it all backwards. I wrote down Carol is working on triads, picking fingers, and bar chords, right? Joey's working on fingerstyle soloing, i.e. major and minor pentatonics, and alternate picking. Amin is working on vertical soloing, meaning soloing within chord changes, not just across the key. Jazz guitars we take for granted, we're going to address each chord, but rock guitars don't do that hardly at all.
True.
And so it's a big jump for them. And then triads, that's what I mean by vertical, meaning you're addressing each chord. He's also working on triads, he's working on alternate picking too. Finn's working on chord vocabulary, minor pentatonics, and picking. He wants to be able to shred.
Good luck.
Matt is working on pentatonics and licks. He likes to play a certain repertoire from his favorite bands, and he likes chord he likes bar chords, although his hand's been bothering him lately. And he's here for 2 hours. So I
Okay.
definitely, that's one thing, like, I would not start with him. Like, knowing he was coming, him and Carol are coming for 2 hours, this is part of how I planned everything. Like, okay, Matt's having problems with his hand. Bar chords are the thing that makes it hurt most, so I
Yeah.
cannot start with bar chords with him. But I didn't design the whole lesson, I didn't plan the whole thing around that. I just wanted to know, okay, Matt and Carol are also coming in the second hour, and so I made chord vocabulary the second hour, and if his hand is bothering him by then, at least he's done at probably, an hour and a half or something. Okay? So I bring that up because we're going to talk about what I decided to do on the 3:30 class, but I look at big picture before I get into those details. Like, who's coming and who, and Carol's already had a triad lesson with you actually last week. So I wouldn't want to start with that either because she would have had done two triad lessons in a row. I like to mix it up. Everyone works on three different things at once, and then it's the geometric method. They go back to, they
Yeah.
bounce around between different.
Yeah,
Okay.
no, that makes sense.
Okay.
So.
So 3:30, the actual type of class is training. It's a red class, meaning you're not supposed to be delivering massive new bits of information. You're just trained. They're literally just working out what they have already. And you'll definitely have to tweak and help people out, but you're not delivering new information they haven't heard. That's training. And the topic of the day is scales. And I remembered that I have in the computer already this massive caged workout in which they can do any of the levels that are printed there. They can do the roots of the core, the roots of each cage system shape. We'll go over the details of this.
Sure.
And then after they play the roots, they can play the minor pentatonic that's associated with that. They can play the major pentatonics associated with that. They can play blues scale. They can do the actual chords for each cage system shape.
Sure.
And they can do any of the major scales, minor scales, all the, any of the modes. If they're more advanced, they could do harmonic minor, melodic minor. There's a ton of flexibility with regards to layers.
Yeah, do you have students that are in that level, modes, harmonic minor, melodic?
There's one guy, Amin, who's going to be here, who is, he's he knows all his modes. He hasn't started melodic or harmonic minor yet. And so I don't think that will be the case today, no, but it's possible he's ready for that soon. You know, if he can nail an exercise like this and do all modes right in one position. In other words, let me just, in other words, everyone, you pick a key, right? Or you ask someone to pick a key. That's what I like to do. They say they pick the key of A, and then you ask them, okay, well the lowest shape of an A chord in the key of A is an A. Like it's no coincidence that, you know, the A shape is going to be the lowest shape in the key of A you can play, the A chord shape. But that's got open strings, so I don't like that, because then let's say if someone's working on major pentatonic, it's going to have a note behind fret 12, like fret 0, and they'd have to adjust their fingering, and it's all a mess right off the bat. So I just avoid that, and I have them do the next lowest shape that doesn't involve any open strings, which would be the G shape.
Right.
And it has three roots, and they look like this.
Root 6, G shape.
What?
Root 6 is G shape.
Well, it depends on which finger you use. If you put finger 1 there, it's going to be an E shape.
Right, I reviewed this.
6 string to the left is a G shape, 6 string to the right is an E shape. And then 5th string to the left is C shape.
C shape, that's what I'm
And
that's
then
what
to
I'm
the right is A shape, and then the 4th string is a D shape. So that's how you do it. Gotcha. And then there, so for any of their levels, like, I mean, let's take Amin. He should be able to do like root, or in this case, all three roots, and then the chord that goes along with that, and then like all the pentatonics, like major pentatonic, and then major scale. And this has to be done all right in position. And then he could do, maybe he can group them according to which ones are major. Like he could do Lydian, and then he could do Mixolydian. You know, if that's fine. And then he could switch to minor. And then he would play the minor chord, and then let's say the minor pentatonic. Play a blues scale, and then he could play the like pure minor Aeolian, right?
Sure.
And then he could do any other minor modes. He could do Dorian. If you have a 3 notes per string person, it's fine if they go out of position a little bit. Like this would be caged, where it's strictly in position.
And no then, shifting.
And then 3 notes per string, you tend to shift more like. Like either one of those is fine.
Yeah.
And then they would do Phrygian and then Locrian, and then like that's a tall order because he's only in one shape. And then he'd repeat all that. So ask them to write their routine before they begin. You know, right? So, like everyone, right, what scales do you know, and how are you going to do it before you begin, and ask them to show you it before they start.
Mm-hmm.
Once they start, they're in the weeds, and it's hard for them to back. But if they have their routine on paper, everyone's routine is going to look a little different. Does this make sense?
Yeah, sure.
And this is a massive workout.
Yeah, it sounds like a big thing. Yeah.
You know, and if Amin can do that, and then, you know, he's ready for more. If he did that in the key of A, fine, he can move to another key and do it again. But if he's like breezing through it, like completely, like really, teacher, that's all you have to give me, then you can move to the harmonic minor or melodic minor.
Okay.
You know, there's always something, but I doubt that's going to happen in his case. And he's the most advanced of the whole lesson. So
sure.
I'm just answering that particular question.
Well, no, thank you.
Let me just finish. Hold on to that question. The beginner would just be like, okay, key of A, here's my three roots, here's my minor pentatonic. But I only know the E and the D shapes, so I'll start here. I'll play the E shape, and they might not even know the chord that goes with it. So you might need some materials here. So the materials could be on paper, in which case you show them the cage system. They should have all this already. But the cage system overview, it's under cage system, the cage system overview with the different chords.
Yeah.
These are the major and the minor chords and the roots.
That's, you emailed me this last week, so I checked
that out. And the minor pentatonic folder or major pentatonic folder are all here. This is the minor pentatonic folder, but they should have all this.
And would they bring it with them?
Yeah, they're supposed to.
Okay, sure.
If they don't have their binder, simply ask them, please bring it every week, which I always do.
And then
for online students, these links are here. They're pre-printed already. This is the link that you would give everyone in the Zoom link. This first one, Massive Cage Warm-Up. And if they need a copy of
this stuff,
not the minor pentatonic, but this one.
Yeah, the sheets.
That's the second link here.
Gotcha.
All right. So always have the paper on hand and the Zoom links on hand, so you can keep the Zoom people happy.
Sure.
That they're like, you're handing out stuff and they don't have a copy. That's gonna be annoying for them. Similar if you have just links for them and the people here are live and they don't have paper. You have to manage paper and links, you know.
Yeah.
Did you remember your question about this? I told you to hold your question.
Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, in leading the start of the group class, you kind of ground everybody with a key. Pick a key, and then I'm going to have them write out for each of their own ability to that point, like what do they know, what shades, what scales, and then just have them start to drill it. And then make corrections based on what I see or what I notice. And so like you would have them check in periodically, like on
Zoom. You just rotate around, you got 5 people in 60 minutes, it takes you 10 minutes to explain, so... I mean, you don't have to use a timer where it's like literally two or three minutes each, but you just go around and you keep everybody on track. If there's questions and you're in the middle of helping someone, you say, okay, I'll be right there. And you can deviate the order if you're going clockwise or something. You can deviate the order if someone asks a question.
Sure.
And then generally as the class goes on, you can do more and more hands off. You just the first time around is critical to make sure everyone's doing it right and they're not having questions. And then second time around, you're kind of tweaking what they're doing to be more efficient or perhaps more, in some cases, more creative or in some ways just all-encompassing or if they're doing a technique wrong, et cetera, et cetera. But as the class progresses, training classes are easier. You can just back off gradually and just leave everyone to train, you know.
Okay. Well, you know... On paper, it's all making sense, and now I just gotta see how it looks in real time.
But the big thing in the beginning, I forgot to mention this, is like you always need to tell them why you're doing it, you know. And so, what would be the why here?
How music is constructed with scales.
Yeah, soloing everything, writing melodies, music theory,
hearing melodies. I mean, that's
hearing, ear training. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you have to say all that up front.
Yeah, that...
And then tell them again at the end. You have to tell them what you told them, right?
Right, exactly. And especially with something that has so many moving parts that I think when you're trying to, like, figure out how music works and you're learning, it can be really hard to, like, be like, okay, I just did all that, but I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
You know?
And most of these guys just need to memorize more scales. Like, one of the kids is going to come here and say, I only know 2 scales. He's been working on 2 scales for months. He's got to get going. It's not that hard to memorize all 5. You can do it. You just do 1 a week. And in 3 more weeks, you'll have them all for the rest of your life. Stop kidding around. Mm-hmm. That's what a session like this is.
I see. But it's not my job to show him another one. It's for him to, like,
no, if he's ready with the 2 and he knows them, then have him digest the next one.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, he can learn the next one.
If that's the
case. But if he can't get it on his own, and you have to waylay your own time to, quote, teach him, that's not appropriate for a training class. If it was a general class where the topic was new scales to learn, then you would do that.
Sure.
So it's within reason. Like, yes, he could do it. But if he starts asking you, well, I don't understand how this connects to the other, and I'm like, then just leave it out. Just do the ones you know, and we'll do it on the next general class. That's what teaching classes are for.
Right, okay, that's starting to make some sense.
All right. Or what? Have you watched the videos for the K system? Then the kid says no, and you say, well, go home and watch the videos, and then we'll chop. We'll talk about it.
Sure, sure.
So you don't have to play hard ass. It's just don't let yourself get waylaid by one little question.
Yeah.
And throws up the whole group.
No, yeah. Makes sense.
All right, cool. Next class.
Talking about 4:30 then.
4:30 is Carol, Matt, Daniel, and Bryce. Carol's doing triads, picking fingers, and bar chords. Matt is doing pentatonics and soloing, repertoire, bar chords. Daniel is doing solo, finger style, and fretboard theory / bar chords. I forgot to write that. And Bryce is doing chord switching and soloing. Bryce is long overdue. I didn't see him for 2 weeks. This does happen. Whatever you think of it, it's fine. Like I said, the international teachers group, they don't think about individual students till the last step. But I do, and I haven't seen Bryce in 3 weeks. He bailed on the student concert, and he's been telling me, and because we had the student concert, we've been focusing on nothing but that. And all during that time, he was like, wait till you see my chord switching. Like, Bryce needs a boost. And these other people are up for anything. Like, Dano and Carol and Matt, they're up for anything, and they have good attitudes. Like, so they never have to know that I built the lesson around Bryce. And they're going to get tons of value out of it anyway. But that's how I do it sometimes.
Sure.
Bryce really needs to show me, he wants to show you, his chord switching. He's proud of it. He's worked on it. And we haven't talked about it for weeks, partly because he missed and partly because we were focusing on the student concert.
Okay.
Now that we're going to do that, he can do a capo. We kind of talked about this last week. He was supposed to come with Carol, but he never did. And so this may sound familiar to you. You can get a capo, have him get his capo out, or you can give him a capo in the song. It's in the closet. And now suddenly his CFG, A minor, or whatever he's got, GCD, A minor, E minor, and he can put a fret. He can put it on fret one, and now suddenly all these guys have to play B flat and you know, D flat and those chords,
yeah,
instead of C and A minor.
Yeah, sure.
So that's an easy thing, and you don't have to play together, but it'll be challenging and fun, I think, for those guys to play together. Carol could do triads. Dano can just do bar chords. He hasn't done that in a while. He could do finger style with bar chords if it's too easy. You could add layers.
Yeah.
You know, and then Matt can do bar chords. We'll see how his hand is hurt, if his hand is holding out okay.
Yeah.
And Carol can do triads. She'll be happy to do that. We don't know. He was supposed to go to the doctor last week, so he should have some news to report about what the doctor said.
Yeah, because it's tough to, you know, I don't want to put him in a position where injury.
Yeah, and he knows that if it's hurting, then he stops. You know.
Yeah.
And we can always give him some theory stuff to do while everyone else is playing, like here's right out, you know. Okay, everyone's playing D flat, B flat minor, G flat, and A flat. Write out the spelling of those chords. There's a ton you could do. You know, I've taught kids who broke their arm and weren't able to play for like 2 months. They still came every week. And they wrote out theory stuff.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, it's...
All right, and then... So, in terms of varying it up, making it harder or easier, right? The easiest thing is they just play one bar chord per... Let's assume it's everyone except Bryce. We know Bryce is only going to be playing GCD, A minor, E minor in different combinations.
Sure,
depending chords. On what he's comfortable with. You would have to dictate little progressions for him. Bryce, let me just see you do, you know, G, G, C, C, D, D, G, G, an 8-bar progression like that. And then,
sure.
Okay, now we're going to replace this chord with an E minor or something. Just
gotcha.
To see how he handles it all.
Gotcha, okay.
And then while he's doing that, you got him at capo fret 1. And if it's too much work for you to transpose it on the fly and write it on the whiteboard, then you have everyone else do it. You ask someone to write it on the whiteboard. You ask someone like Dan or Carol, who's online. You know, can you guys transpose this? Or have them work together. They love that.
Okay.
And Bryce and Carol, Dan and Carol, you guys are in charge of taking Bryce's chords, which are G, C, D, E minor, whatever. And bringing it up a half step.
Yeah.
They'll know how to do that. And writing it on the whiteboard.
Write them out and then play them.
put it on the whiteboard, and that's what you play.
Do they have access to the Zoom whiteboard they can all see?
Yeah, you can just check this little box that says multiple participants can share at the same time.
Sure.
And then they can use it. And then from there, they can, to make it harder, you know that bar chords are on 6th strings and 5th strings, so if it's too easy, you know, and Bryce is playing slow, and he very well might be, fine. Then they play say the chord's D-flat to B-flat minor, right? Instead of Bryce's C and A minor.
Sure.
There's two places to play D-flat bar chord, one on the 5th string, one on the 6th string.
Yeah.
They could play both while he's still playing the one chord.
Sure.
And then switch to the B-flat minor, same thing. Play both.
Yeah, root 6.
If they can do it in time. You know, they might not be able to.
Yeah.
Same thing with the triads. Carol can play multiple inversions. She could try all three inversions in the time that Bryce plays one chord.
Sure. That's what we were doing last week.
Yeah. How many could you do? How many could you do on that last round, Carol? Could you do all three? No, I could only do two. Perfect. So just try to keep doing two for a little while, and then see if you can increase it later.
Sure.
What else could you do? Different string sets. You could also have someone play seventh chords instead of regular triad bar chords. You know, so there's a number of chords, like frequency of chords.
Sure.
There's inversions, there's string sets, and there's harmonic embellishments. I suppose, you know, if you had like someone beyond that point, you could have them play, you know, major sevenths, or make a ninth out of each. I've done this before. Make every chord into ninth chords, but you have to figure out what the appropriate diatonic ninth chord is. So he's playing, well, concert, he's playing D-flat, B-flat minor, let's just do a 1-6-4-5, right? D-flat, B-flat minor, G-flat, A-flat.
Mm.
And so this more advanced student now has to figure out, okay, diatonically that'd be D-flat major 9, B-flat minor 9, G-flat major 9, and A-flat 9.
Yeah.
And play them all. Like, that's a tall order right there.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah. It's never a problem to challenge more advanced people and to allow them to go simpler if it's too hard.
Yeah, and this is a training class.
No, this is a teaching class.
Oh, is it?
It's chord vocabulary.
Okay, all right.
Here's the thing, I never gave it to you, sorry.
Yeah.